Refine quantitative / qualitative success targets and benefits. Refining quantitative and qualitative success targets and benefits can also be called an opportunity analysis. Note that this process may require some change management to help people accept that the identified gaps are real, urgent, and also feasible to close, turning problems into opportunities. Defect identification and discussion can be contentious. Making significant project and workflow investments to close the gaps is typically required. People don't generally like to hear bad news, and this process is likely to result in some bad news, especially if executives have been used to seeing reports that look more favorable due to things like outliers being excluded from data or other cherry picking. The process can reveal unfavorable trends, such as cost focus resulting in worse business flexibility or material costs rising faster than other costs. If these discussions are handled well by the design team and the evangelist, the pain of facing facts can be cathartic, meaning it can result in increased motivation to transform. A general rule of thumb for transformation projects is that the average successful transformation should increase profit by 3%, or $3 million more profit for every $100 million in more revenue. However, fairly mature organizations will likely see a smaller benefit due to already being at a high level of efficiency and effectiveness, so perhaps a 1.5% improvement could be expected. Organizations with low maturity might see larger gains for the same reason, perhaps a 4.5% profit improvement. This is a key way to make bad news about poor supply chain maturity into an opportunity. Of course, design teams must estimate the actual profit potential of each potential project. This is often expressed as an improvement in operating income. This can be expressed as earnings before interest and taxes, or EEBIT, or using economic value added, EVI. But it can also be expressed as the monetary value of any financial metric, such as improvement in COGS. However, this benefit should be reduced by any trade-offs that are known. For example, if part of a reduction in cash-to-cash cycle time is made by reducing days sales outstanding, an estimate of lost customers may be needed, customers who do not accept the stricter payment terms. While many benefit and trade-off calculations can be entirely quantitative, some costs will require estimating or include some form of qualitative analysis. Difficult to quantify benefits include opportunities to add new customers or get new sales. Difficult to quantify trade-offs include the risks of lost customers or lost sales. Some organizations estimate lost sales/sales opportunities related to availability, canceled/new orders, or loss/gain market share. The latter two are related to one or more customer-facing resilience metrics. Seek actual data for such estimates to use as a proxy. For example, if there are EERP data on partially completed sales and dropped orders due to availability issues, these incomplete orders might, for example, calculate as 2% of sales revenue. Multiplying sales revenue by 2% results in the estimate of the value of closing the gap, or the trade-off that increasing a different metric might create. Be sure to document all assumptions that are made so that the steering committee and other stakeholders can understand the estimate, challenge assumptions, and/or challenge estimation methods. Refine quantitative/qualitative success targets and benefits per project. Refining the quantitative and qualitative success targets and benefits for each project in the portfolio is a type of opportunity analysis. Here are the steps in this process. Create a project opportunity spreadsheet for each project and populate it with the data from the project portfolio spreadsheet. Perform another due diligence pass at the problem weights by reviewing the data used for validation and ensuring that the sample size was large enough and that these are the most relevant data to use for setting this problem weight. Validate that the problem weights for all identified problems for a specific level 2 defect equal 100% or less, less if some unknowns are assumed. Specify what types of benefits each project will have. Categories can be related to the metrics chosen. One can generalize these benefits as revenue growth, cost avoidance, cost reduction, productivity improvements. Check with a sponsor as to whether it would be best to simplify the financial analysis by assuming constant revenue in the analysis period, annualized savings, or if the profit improvement from revenue growth should be included. This is more complex and could be too much information at this point. Typically, the steering team also decides that only new savings per year are to be included so that total savings does not double count these savings. For this reason, some savings will not be shown in later periods, as they are already counted. Also consider other timing of benefits over multiple years, such as a ramp up in the first year. For example, if so, metric targets should also step up over time, or benefits that may be front-loaded and taper off, for example, assumption of temporary competitive advantage. Document assumptions made for all defect rates, problem weights, the resulting problem impact, and benefits assessments. List these for all reviewers and make them easy to find. The steering team is far more likely to question assumptions than the benefits themselves. Also, multiple stakeholders will be reviewing these materials, so documentation completeness and ease of interpretation are paramount. For this reason, it is vital to keep documentation up to date, accurate, and consistent across various levels, especially in individual project opportunity analysis spreadsheets and the portfolio benefits analysis spreadsheet. Enlist the finance functional area, or specific financial experts, to test and validate the benefits. Enlist other experts to validate benefits related to the project specifics, for example, a marketing analyst to assess market share and volume, an internal auditor to validate sampling procedures, or a cost accountant to validate what should be included in total supply chain management cost. Temporarily widening the team in this way can widen support for the project, because more people will have had a chance to delve into the details before they are asked to decide whether or not to support the initiative. Incorporate their feedback before sharing results with the steering team. Use the principle of conservatism when producing benefits estimates. The design team is responsible for developing the best estimate. The steering committee is responsible for setting safety buffers, for example, under-promising and over-delivering. These roles need to be made explicit so buffering isn't done twice. Exhibit 2-50 shows the analysis that Sample, Inc. conducted for its top priority project. Exhibit 2-50, Sample, Inc. Opportunity Analysis for CPFR Project. The impact on EBIT for this project is estimated to be about $8,881,000 over 4 years, the sum of the bottom line items, prior to factoring in the time value of money. Analysis such as net present value, NPV, might be delayed until later. Note that cost savings are listed with a minus sign, but the absolute values of all lines are used to sum the impact on EBIT. Assumptions and calculations used for each line that lists a revenue benefit or cost savings follow. New revenue. The project is estimated to improve perfect customer order fulfillment by 12%. The added revenue was estimated by booking an extra 350 orders per year, or 1,400 over 4 years, which is the average that were previously canceled due to lack of availability. The average value per order of $3,084 x 1,400 orders equals $4,317,000, or about 1% of revenue. This amount is evenly allocated over each year. Cost of goods sold, COGS, materials. Better data on demand to suppliers will allow ordering the right quantities on a more timely basis, resulting in 1% cost savings. This savings will be evenly split between Sample, Inc. and suppliers, for a 0.5% cost savings for Sample, Inc., which equates to $1,390,000 savings. The assumption is that these savings are unevenly distributed. A quarter of this benefit in the first year as efficiency improves, half in the next year, and the remaining quarter in the third year. By the fourth year, all cost savings are fully incorporated, so none is booked then. Total supply chain management cost, TSCMC, order management, outbound transport cost. Currently, outbound transport costs $1,157,000 per year. Of this, 12% of orders are expedited, with a 20% increase in cost. Better forecasts are estimated to result in only 2% of orders needing to be expedited. This equates to $96,000 per year in savings. TSCMC, sourcing, inbound transport cost. Currently, inbound transport costs $446,000 per year. Of this, 35% of orders are expedited, with a 30% increase in costs. Better forecasts are estimated to result in only 5% of orders needing to be expedited. This equates to a $101,000 savings per year. TSCMC, sourcing, procurement cost. Better planning will enable more full tanker shipments. The full tanker discount is currently applied 83% of the time, but is estimated to be applied 95% of the time in the to-be state. The 2% discount applied to the average order of $3,084 is about $62 per order, which would be applied to 350 more orders per year, or about $22,000 per year. TSCMC, inventory carrying cost. Opportunity cost. This is the opportunity cost improvement provided by reducing working capital requirements related to 26 fewer days of finished goods inventory. For example, money not tied up in inventory can be used profitably elsewhere. This is a $27,809,000 reduction in inventory value on the balance sheet, but the improvement to EBIT equates to $1,947,000, calculations not shown, which is evenly allocated over each year. Finished goods DC storage cost. Better product availability will reduce order picking time to 1.0 times per order rather than the average of 1.2 times per order. For example, eliminate rework. Staff time spent on notifying customers of problems and expediting will be reduced. For savings of $6.20 per order over 15,475 orders per year, which is $96,000 in savings per year. Raw materials DC storage cost. Better forecasts provided to suppliers will allow delivery timing to improve raw material storage capacity utilization from 96% to 84%. Having excess raw material storage capacity will eliminate the use of tankers as temporary storage. Avoidance of this internal opportunity cost for its own fleet is similar to avoiding detention fees. This will reduce the current annual raw materials inventory holding cost of $263,000 by 4.875% per year, or about $13,000 per year. Qualitative benefits. So far, quantitative benefits have taken up most of the discussion. This is because anything that can be made quantitative should be made quantitative, even if proxies are needed. However, some qualitative benefits will not be quantifiable, but should still be included in the analysis where they make sense. Here are some examples of qualitative benefits that might be discussed. Complexity reduction or management can involve elimination of waste, such as unnecessary processes. While some of this might be quantified, it may still benefit from a qualitative discussion. Some supply chain designs or technologies might instead make supply chains or supply chain roles more complex. In this case, complexity management should be discussed. Culture change benefits can be hard to estimate, but can be powerful. Organizational learning and maturity improvement may have qualitative portions. Brand image improvement might be estimated or be kept qualitative. Risk management or reduction may be qualitatively or quantitatively expressed. Qualitative benefits can also be developed into a set of qualitative criteria for further prioritizing projects, as is discussed elsewhere. Steering team review and go/no-go phase gate. The evangelist or program manager and selected design team members will present to the steering team and executive sponsor the overall project portfolio, the individual project benefits, their assumptions, and the logic used to validate the benefits. The presentation should also go over the process used to develop the portfolio, such as key insights from brainstorming sessions. If the presentation team is well prepared, has some allies in the room because they have kept people in the loop, and has prepared responses in advance for likely challenges, then the project benefits will likely get a fair hearing. When working with external parties on a transformation, it is vital that the organization have clear and consistent messaging among all points of contact with these parties. Agree on the goals you are seeking internally before presenting them to external parties. Negotiations with these parties may result in changes in goals or requests for additional detail. Be sure any final decisions among parties are reflected in the internal team goals so that everyone is working toward a shared goal. This is a go/no-go decision point or phase gate to validate the recommendations or take a different path, for example, more research on certain scenarios. After incorporating feedback, approved projects can be scoped in more detail and further prioritized.